And it's a pleasure and a joy to be here with you this morning, family of Emmanuel Baptist, to share God's faithful work in our lives, personally, but also in the ministry of SEC down in Mexico. For those that don't know me personally, I'm Denver Jantz and my wife, Katie. We have two kids, Noelle and Macy, as Andrew mentioned. And we have been in missionaries as a family in Mexico for nearly 5 years. It'll be 5 years this October. And so we now get to spend 6 months in Canada. We've already done 3 months as CRA requirements, and we leave in December. But it's a joy to be able to come here with our wonderful partnering church, Emmanuel, and share of God's good, faithful work in our lives. Kate and I are directors of a non-denominational Bible school in a town called San Carlos in Mexico. And we're a Bible school that trains men and women from Mexico that speak Spanish. And for those that know a little bit of the history, Howard and Susan Dick, Katie's parents, my parents-in-law, they started the ministry nearly 15 years ago. They were called by our mission, the Baptist Missionary Society of Latin America, to go down to Mexico and to see what need there would be there in the Sonoran region. And so they set on the quest to San Carlos, and they spent a year, and they observed, they prayed, they met, and unequivocally and undeniably, they saw a hunger from their dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God. But not only that, to be equipped to go back into their communities and their churches to advance the gospel and teach them sound doctrine. And so thus SEC was started in 2010. And in these last 14 years, it has been a journey. It's been a good journey. God's been faithful in directing us. And we've seen lots of amazing things take place in those years. There's been so many hardships as well. For you, some of you know that Howard Dick went to be with Jesus just over a year ago. He's now in the presence of his Lord and Savior, singing and dancing. And Howard had an amazing testimony, an amazing impact on many lives. It was hard for us as a family to say goodbye to Howard, as a father and as a grandfather and as a husband. It was hard for our team to say goodbye to a director that led the ministry so well and faithfully. It was hard for many to say goodbye to a friend. He befriended many people in San Carlos. Almost everyone knows or knew who he was. And he impacted lives here today as well for those that knew him. So God, in his faithfulness and in his love and grace, carried us on in Howard's absence. And we have been the recipients of God's grace and him building us back up to where he wants us to be for his glory. I want to share with you our vision that we have as a Bible school. We, SEC, exist to see the church in Mexico built up in maturity and unity, being effective in both evangelism and discipleship. That is our heart. That is why we exist. We exist to see our brothers and sisters in Mexico built up for the work of the ministry to be sent back in their communities, all for the sake of the gospel, to bring fame to Jesus' name. And, you know, it's been a journey, and God has given us everything we needed to continue on in this ministry, in his ministry. It's not our ministry. It's God's ministry. And having the absence of Howard and Susan, as she took care of Howard, we need to kind of figure out how are we going to do this? And God gave us everything we needed and more. And we have an amazing team that God's raised up to serve in Mexico. And I want to introduce you to our amazing team that has been with us through thick and thin. And Susan Dick she's gone through a lot. Pray for her if you think of it, if the Lord leads you. If you are, thank you for your prayers already. She's learning how to live life as a widow. She did ministry for 40 plus years with her husband, and now she doesn't have him anymore. But she still has her focus on Jesus, still has her focus on the ministry a second. She serves faithfully alongside us, and we're grateful to have her there still next to us. Carmen and Guillermo Medina, the Medina family, they're the newest members of our team on leadership. A wonderful family. Carmen and Guillermo come from a small fishing village called El Choyudo, and they pastored there for 25 plus years faithfully. Guillermo has and Carmen have been involved with the school since the beginning as a teacher, and they have been called to join us full time at SEC. They've worked through that over the years, and you know, they felt the Lord is calling them to be full-time with us. So we're very grateful to have them full-time with us. Guillermo is our head of curriculum and one of our core teachers during the school season. And he has a lot of more responsibilities than that, but those are his two main ones. And Carmen, his wife, is head over our hospitality and does childcare during the school season. And so they're an amazing family. You got three kids, Brian, who is a graduate from our program, and also is in university currently, loves Jesus, and cool to see him grow up. Ruby as well, university student, and then the youngest, Caleb. And so this is the Medina family. Ryan Thiessen, who has been on with us for nearly 12 years, a good Mennonite boy from Winkler, Manitoba, and he's been a phenomenal asset to our team. Another core teacher. These guys, I want to say, I'm just so grateful with their ability to teach the Word of God, and their soundness in the truth of the gospel. He is our program coordinator, as well as he's head of PR and recruitment, and is our dean of men. And so we're very pleased and grateful to God to have him on our team. Jael Bautista, who is a former graduate from our program, and she's been on staff for about 3 years, and she is now our head administrator. She's taken over the work that Katie used to do. And so Katie has spent lots of time with Jael in training her up to be in that position. And she's also our Dean of Women during the school season. This is our team. Please be in prayer for them as they're still on the ground while we're here in Canada. They're an amazing team, and we're so grateful for them. It was a pretty cool year we had last year. We were very grateful how God brought these students into our lives and how He did a tremendous work in their lives. We graduated with 11 students. Can you believe it? 11 students. It's a small group. It's not big. But I tell you, we had such joy every year getting to know these guys and living together as a family. It really is a family and a community as we're there full time. And to see them shaped by the gospel, to see their vocabulary change and see their hearts change to be equipped and passionate for the ministry that the Lord has set before them. They're all serving in ministry. Isn't that amazing? They're all back in their home communities, and they're using what they've learned at SEC for God's glory. I want to share two testimonies of two students. We have a second year program that goes in correspondence with our first year program. And so we invite all of our first year graduates to come back to do a second year if the Lord prompts them to do so. Abraham came back for a second year. We call him Abraham Mission, which is Mission Abraham, because he has a heart for missions. And this is what he had to say at the end of his second year program. I have had a re-encounter with Jesus and my faith. Before coming to SEC, I was afraid to give over my whole life to Christ, to say, here am I, no matter the consequences. I was afraid of the possibilities. Am I be hard or difficult where God calls me? I might have to suffer. But now after going through another year at SEC, I have come to a place in my life where now I can say, God, I will seek to do your will and not mine. This is God's work in Abraham. Guess where Abraham is today? He's serving as a missionary. He's traveling across Latin America, South America, Central America, taking the word of God to unreached people groups, teaching the chronological word with other missionaries. He's not living in fear anymore. He's surrendered to God and say, I'm going to serve you no matter what. And he's doing it joyfully. That's amazing. This is God's work in Abraham's life. Another student that we had this past school year, his name is Luis. And Luis, we call him Mini Spurgeon, or at least that's what I called him. He's short and stout, and he's fiery, and man, does he know the word of God. And he can preach like you wouldn't believe. Preaching is his gifting. And guess what? He's only been reading for 2 years. Can you believe that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he, like many students, have come from broken backgrounds. He's experienced it. Abuse, addiction abuse, abandonment. He was abandoned as a baby and left on the street. But God found him. God called him to himself. And he's saying, Lord, I want to live my life for you. Came through SEC. And he is from the same fishing village as Carmen and Guillermo pastored in. And he is one of the men that Guillermo has mentored over the years and has raised him up to be one of the leaders in the church to take over. And he's loving that community faithfully and preaching the word of God. Amen, right? This is God's work, and we're so thankful for that. So if God prompts you to pray for us, please do. If you already are, we thank you for that. We love our partnering church that we have here, Emmanuel. You're a family. We can't do what we're doing down in Mexico without you. You play just of a part in what we do down there because you're running the race with us in prayer and in monetary, and we appreciate that. So please, if the Lord prompts you to continue to pray, these are some of the requests we have. Wisdom as we raise our little girls. Family needs to be the first priority, the first ministry. And we love our little girls, and we pray for their souls that they would treasure Jesus, that they'd come to him one day, that the Lord would call them to him, and that they would surrender their lives. So pray that that happen, and pray that God would continue to use us in leading to that, that our time in Canada will be fruitful. It is fruitful because we're here amongst our family and Emmanuel. So this is it. This is what we're doing. We're excited. And you can continue to pray that God would guide us in the rest of our time that we have until the end of December. Wisdom and as we direct our team, it's hard to be long distance, but the Lord knows that too, and he directs that. But as we get back down there in December, that God would continue to use us, give us wisdom and discernment as we lead our team down there. For our former students, as they're back home serving, they need your prayer, that their eyes would be fixed on Jesus, that they'd be encouraged in the ministry that they're in, and that the ministry of SEC may continue to glorify, to flourish and bring God glory, and that we would be able to raise the various projects that we have for our school. If you'd like to know more about what we do, talk about, if you have questions or anything, please visit us. We have a booth outside in the foyer. We'd love to chat with you. And I mentioned the first service, the wrong date, but October 27th, we're going to have an info night where we can expound on all this stuff. So please mark in your calendar and join us at the church here at 5:45. We're gonna be able to share a little more about the ministry that we have. We have a promo video that I want to show you that we've developed for our students down in Mexico to see or to promote in Mexico. So keep that in mind with some of the languages being used, but it's a great way to help encapsulate what we do. So please take a look at this video.
través de su palabra muy profundamente ha sido para mí algo muy hermoso.
Nos enseñan la Biblia, no nos enseñan otra cosa. Y gracias a eso pude experimentar otras cosas diferentes para mi vida.
Y aprendes tanto de la Biblia, aprendes de Jesús, pero también aprendes a convivir con los demás hermanos.
Fue una experiencia llena de bendición, donde pude aprender y crecer en muchas áreas de mi vida. Pude aprender de los compañeros, pude aprender en cada una de las clases y pude aprender también el propósito por el cual Dios me trajo aquí y en este tiempo.
Hola, mi nombre es Guillermo. Soy parte del equipo de maestros que componen Centro Educativo Cristiano y quiero compartirte acerca de este ministerio para todos aquellos obreros que han sido llamados por Dios, pero que tienen el profundo anhelo de conocerle aún más mediante su palabra, comprendiendo así su maravilloso plan redentor y llevar a cabo con pasión la gran comisión que el Señor Jesús nos encomendó. SEC es un lugar que te brinda esa oportunidad. Tiene un programa estructurado para cumplir ese propósito. La duración del curso en sí es de 3 meses y medio. Estamos enfocados en el evangelismo, el discipulado, el compañerismo, la comunión, el servicio, las clases impartidas y las actividades dentro y fuera de las instalaciones son bibliocéntricas. Dentro de la semana, las clases son intensivas, pero el fin de semana el estudiante sale a servir y practicar lo aprendido a una iglesia local a la cual quedó asignado. También ponemos énfasis de la vida en comunidad. Esto para abordar cada una de las áreas requeridas para el crecimiento y la madurez espiritual. Para ello, tanto los maestros y el personal colaboran en sus respectivos dones para caminar al lado de cada alumno y apoyarles mutuamente en su caminar en Cristo. Por tanto, si estás interesado en equiparte y poseer las herramientas que te serán de mucha ayuda en tu ministerio y aún en tu propia vida, te animamos, contáctanos y con gusto te atenderemos. Dios te bendiga.
I'd like to transition now to the word from the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 23. And as we read in this passage, it will be apparent to see the convicting burden that Paul has for reaching and for preaching the gospel to the lost. And there are three realities in this passage that we'll read about. And my prayer is that these realities that Paul claims for himself would be my reality as well as your reality this morning. And so the first reality is this. In being burdened for the gospel, Paul was compelled to preach. In being burdened for the lost, Paul was compelled to preach the gospel. Verse 16 says, "For yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." In the ESV, it says that Paul felt the necessity to preach. When you think of the word necessity, you think of things that you're in need of, right? Eating is a necessity for us. I need to eat food in order to live. I need to drink water in order to live. I need to pay taxes in order to have a life here or whatever. These are necessities of life. Paul is saying that preaching the gospel is a necessity, because people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The NIV uses the word compelled. And the definition of compel is to drive or urge forcefully? Have you ever felt compelled to do something before? Of course. We all have, right? In Mexico, there is, especially in Sonora, there is a food called a burro, which means a donkey. Now, you're not eating a donkey by any means, but it's this massive, a burrito. That's what, a burrito is a small donkey, if you didn't know. And a burrito is a big burrito. It's a burro. And this thing is chock full of the best meats that you can imagine. Cheeses and onions and mushrooms and salsas made on a beautiful tortilla made of wheat. This thing is amazing. And there's a place in downtown Guaymas called Pacheco's. And Pacheco's is the best place that you could ever experience the burro. And so, if you know this, you go anticipating the burro at Pacheco's. You don't eat all day. I fast all day knowing that at 7 o'clock, I'm gonna feast on this amazing burro. And when you arrive there and you see the guys putting all the ingredients in the harina and the tortilla, and they're wrapping it, and the aroma hits your nostrils and your stomach starts to make sounds. You're so hungry. I'm so hungry. What does my hunger do to me? It compels me to eat the burro. I cannot not eat that thing. I devour it wholeheartedly and I enjoy that thing. And it is amazing. It is an amazing experience. When I hope that you all get to experience one day. When we are compelled by something, there is a sense of overwhelming pressure to do it. It becomes a necessity. And Paul wrote that this necessity to preach the gospel was laid upon him. Or in other words, it was pressed upon him. And who's pressing this burden, this necessity on Paul's heart? It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was alive in him. He had new life in Christ, new desires. It was God's heart that was compelling him to preach the gospel, because he shared in the same desires as his Heavenly Father did. Even if he wanted to ignore the power of the gospel in his life, he couldn't do it. It had transformed him. This burden to share the gospel was so laid heavily upon his heart. He could not escape the overwhelming desire to share the saving grace of Jesus Christ to those he came in contact with. Preaching the gospel wasn't optional for him. It was non-negotiable. He had to do it. It was a command, and it was his joy, and it was continual. Paul was compelled to preach the gospel because of his love for the gospel. Remember Paul in Acts chapter 9, before he was Paul, a very devoted religious leader, a Pharisee, a zealot that was on mission to do what? To persecute the church, to persecute all those who claimed salvation, who claimed Jesus Christ as their living Messiah. He wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted to put that to an end. He was devoted to that. That's what he was going to do in Damascus. He was going to Damascus for that reason. And then what happens? Something incredible happens to Paul. The living Messiah meets him on the road. And he has an encounter with Jesus. And his life is turned upside down. No longer does he desire to persecute the church. He's given a heart of flesh that was once a heart of stone. He comes to salvation and realizing who Jesus is. He has new life. He has new purpose. He's regenerated. And from that point on, what does Paul do? He goes to Damascus on mission, devoted. It says in verse 20 of Acts 9, he preaches in the synagogues. He takes the gospel to the people that he was going to persecute. He takes the gospel that did it, people that don't know Christ. And now his focus, his mission, his motivation, his burden is all about proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The overwhelming urgency, desire, the passion to share the good news that we have in Christ can only happen when the Holy Spirit does his work within our lives. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it says something very profound. In verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove you from your heart, a heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decree, to be careful to keep my laws. This is what happened to Paul. Do we here today, can we see the same thing? Have we met with Jesus? Has he given us a new heart, a heart of flesh? And within those, within that new heart, new desires? It's hard for me to be passionate about something if I don't believe in it, right? It's hard for one to be devoted to something, perhaps even die for something, if it's not counted priceless. Paul saw the immeasurable worth in sharing his faith with those that did not know Christ. In fact, it says in verse 16, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe in the Bible refers to anguish, grief, affliction, calamity, wretchedness. It can even be an exclamation of judgment on others or even oneself. Therefore, if Paul is saying, if he would never preach, what would that mean? It would mean anguish for him, calamity, wretchedness, grief, even judgments. So, Emmanuel Baptist, do you and I have such a burden today? Are we compelled, genuinely pressed upon, to share the saving grace of Jesus Christ with those that did not know him? I'm sure we do at times, right? Of course we do. We've all had opportunities where we share our faith. But if you're being honest with yourselves, as I know, I have my shortcomings. We're all human. We sit here today with error, right? We are fighting the battle of flesh on a daily basis. And there's times in my life where I have squelched or ignored the prompting of the Spirit, given many, many opportunities to share my faith. And times I don't take those opportunities. It's true, I think, if we'd all agree that there are times where we don't prioritize the need to share our faith with others. And why is that? I got a busy life, really busy. I don't have time to meet with that person on the road. Or I have questions. Maybe it's fear. Or I don't want to be marginalized. Maybe there's a lack of brokenness for that individual. Here's the reality. The more we revel in the gospel, the more that we revel in the good news that we have claimed as our own, daily, the more precious it will become to us, and the more we're going to want to share it. You have good news. It's completely radicalized your life, changed your life upside down. You're a new creation. You have hope. You have joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. Why would we not want to share that good news? And the more our hearts break for those who don't have that, for a people whose destiny is hell, a Christless eternity, oh, may we be more passionate and more burdened to share that with them. Oh, Holy Spirit, may you compel us to share our faith with those who do not know you. Rekindle the burden within my heart, oh Lord Jesus, to share my faith. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Would this be our prayer today? The world is in desperate need. The world is in desperate need of bold and passionate proclaimers of the gospel. And it can be our joy as it was Paul's. Number two, Paul gave of himself to win many. Paul gave of himself to win many. In verses 19 to 22, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews, to those under the law, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, because though I am not free of God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. We see here, it's very evident that Paul gave of himself in a sacrificial way, to be a slave or a servant to those who's reaching. His heart was burdened for those that didn't know Jesus, and he went to them. It was the Great Commission, right? Therefore, go. He went. He didn't stay where he was seated. He went to the people. He loved his community. He loved Jews. He loved Gentiles. He loved those who were weak. And his goal was to be, relatable to them. He wanted to relate. He wanted to understand their culture, become one of them. Not saying that he adopted their religious behaviors and heathen rituals. No, not that by any means. But he wanted to be as much like him as possible so that he could relate and that he could effectively proclaim the gospel to them. He was there. He was relational. He built into relationships to earn their trust. And he wasn't some far-off place. No, he was reachable. He was there amongst them. It is the transfer of power of the gospel that compelled him, Paul, to travel thousands of miles across the known world of his time. Was everything that Paul faced that we read about in Acts and throughout the epistles, was it worth it? All of the trials and the tribulations that he faced, the shipwrecks and the getting stoned and the vipers and all of the hardships he faced, was it worth it? It was worth it because Jesus is worth it. And his mind was focused on that some may come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. He put his neck on the line for them. God wants to put our lives on course for his glory. When we truly embrace the depth of God's love and the truth of his gospel, we will become compelled to share it. In the day of Jesus, there was around 300 million people. Today, we're around 8 billion. It's a pretty big jump. And if Jesus asked for workers to be sent into fields 2,000 years ago, how ripe are those fields today? I think they're pretty ripe. They're ripe here in Vernon, I know that. They're ripe across the Okanagan. The harvest is ready in Canada, in Mexico, across the globe. There's no shortage of harvests. It's ready and it's ripe. There's a missionary back in the 1800s named Charles Thomas Studd. And he was a missionary. He was born in the UK and spent his life in Africa. And this is what he said. He said, the light that shines the brightest Sorry, the light that shines, the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest nearest home. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest nearest home. Is our light shining here in Vernon today, Emmanuel? Is it shining in the workplace where you have your jobs? Kids, where you go to school? At the park, at the grocery store, as you take joy and recreation in God's creation here? God is calling us to be his light to a dark world. And it starts in our community. And perhaps you're sitting here today and God's prompting your heart to be somewhere else. Where your feet is where your mission field is. Maybe God wants your feet to go somewhere else. There's a need. There's a genuine and very deep need for people to go across seas. We need missionaries. We need people to go. If you're not sending, you're going. If you're not going, you're sending. So let's be a church that does both. And you are a church that does both because I am a recipient of that. I know that. As many others. Oh, but may we be sensitive to God's calling of where he wants us to serve him. And the last one, Paul's burden to preach the gospel was for the sake of the gospel. Paul's burden to preach the gospel was for the sake of the gospel and sharing in his blessings. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in his blessings. In the end, Paul states the only reason he's preaching, the only reason he's putting himself out there, putting aside any rights that he may have, is for the sake of the gospel. It is the gospel in itself that is a driving force for him to do everything that he had been doing and would continue to do. And then he adds, that I may share in its blessings. In the Greek, blessing means literally to be a fellow partaker. So in other words, Paul is saying, I want to partake of the gospel with you, with those that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to partake of that with you. How have we partaked of the gospel today? For those that have experienced and encountered Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? As sinners, I'm wretched. I deserve nothing. I have no merit before a holy God. My destiny is eternal damnation, separation from the one true God. But yet, God in his love for humanity sends his one and only Son to come to this world to live a perfect life for us, to shed his blood on the cross for our sins so that we may not have to die, that we could have atonement for our sins. Declared righteous, no longer do I see a sinner in you, I see Jesus Christ in you, says the Lord. That we can have new life in him, a new heart, new desires, new affections, a new identity, adopted, reconciled, redeemed, sanctified, glorified, an eternal hope with Jesus Christ in heaven. That is the gospel. Now imagine through proclaiming these truths, sowing the seed, God comes and does the work that only he can do and draws hearts to himself and wins hearts for his glory. Then those who were once lost, we can share together in the blessings of the gospel. The blessing of the gospel is seeing hearts won for Jesus. Remember who you once were. The blessing of the gospel is seeing a church on fire to win hearts for Jesus. A church centered on discipleship and evangelism, a church centered on proclaiming and demonstrating the truths of the gospel. Let me end with this question for us today. Are we banking for eternity? Are you and I this morning banking for eternity? In other words, I hope you're not banking for this world. For those who claim Christ as Lord and Savior, we're sojourners here. This isn't our home. Our home is in heaven. We're going to be raised with Christ one day. We have been raised with Christ, but we're going to be caught up in heaven with Christ as he returns and brought into a new life with him, where there'll be no more sin and no more suffering. And God desires that he would use us as his instruments to rally in as many as we can, so that we can share in the greatest blessing that we could ever have, which is being face to face with Jesus Christ, who is our greatest treasure. It is Christ himself that we win. I want to end with a passage from Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.